is Adar Rishon, 13th of the 2nd, 2011, Rabbi Daniel Rowe, Parshas Kisiso, Purim Kotlin.
So we want to take a look at some of the ideas of Kisiso. This year actually we get to really focus on Kisiso because normally it's Purim during the week of Kisiso, so we're more focused on Purim. But I want to also mention some links that occur between Parshas Kisiso, some of the ideas of what's happening there, and Purim Kotam, which we still have this week, Purim in principle. But I also want to say that I don't want to actually focus so much on the motivation of the Egel Azal. I'm sure that's something we'll hear about a lot this week, but to talk a bit about the results, and I want to say over a very, I think is a profound idea, or very big yesod that comes out of this, that I've said before in this form. I was very zeichah when I was in Yerushalayim to be able to hear Shiurim from a Rav Weinberg in the Old City, and what I don't say v'shem Omro is from him. So the Medrash says like this. The Medrash, you know, it's an amazing thing when you think about Kisiso. One of the interesting things about the Sedra itself is we'll probably, you know, you can almost imagine that only Moshe Rabbeinu himself actually realizes just how close we were to complete destruction. I'll just read the Medrash. The Medrash says like this, that Ilum Tini Yisrael Moshe, this is the Medrash, the Shemais Rabbah, in Parash Lamed Beis, that had Bnei Yisrael just waited, this also appears in the Gemara, that had they just waited, then no, the Malach HaMavis, that there would be no death. There would be, you know, we were back at the level of Adam Rishon Kodem Achit. We say that there would have been no nation could have ruled over us. The writing was engraved and etched into the Luchos Mal Chorus. We learn it as Chayrus, either Chayrus from Golus that would be free from exiles, or Chayrus from Malach HaMavis, free from the possibility of death. We were, Matan Torah was the possibility of transcending all that, all the struggles and difficulties, in fact, all that comes as a result of the Chet of Adam Rishon, the sin of Adam. B'shosh Omri Yisrael Kodesh Adib Hashem Nasa V'nishma Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, at the time the Jewish people said, committed to keeping Torah, Hashem said that Adam Rishon Tzivisa is a mitzvah achas, I only gave Adam Rishon one mitzvah, today she came in, that he'll keep it, and I made him like a malach, and we said, Eilu, these people, Shein Oysin and Mekayim in Tariq mitzvahs, they've already committed to 613 mitzvahs, Min haklolim, min hapotim, min hadikdukim, einam din, einam din, shein chayim akayam loilom. Of course they should live forever. We should be like Adam Rishon would have been had he eaten from the tree of life, Netzach Chaim, instead of Tadas. And then it carries on, kivin sha'amru eile l'ach Yisrael, as soon as they said those words, started worshipping the Egel Azar, ba mavis aleim, death came upon them. That's what Kosh Baruch Hu says, b'shitosei shel Adam Rishon alachtem. You repeated the catastrophe of Gan Eden. You repeated the catastrophe of Adam Rishon, ani amarti aleim atem, v'alachtem acha midoisev shel Adam Rishon, ochein ka Adam tomusen. And that's how we derish the pasuk in the Navi. And that means to say that actually, and of course, the positioning of the parasha, the positioning of the episode of the Egel Azov in the middle of all the parashas of the Mishkan, no matter which of the Malchim and the Rishonim you follow, is clearly a part of this, of what happens in the Mishkan. The Sepharnah says it most strongly. He says that in fact what happens now is that Mishkan is a diminishment of what should have been, because we know that in all the way back in Parashas Yisro, Hashem says, "B'chol hamokim asher azkir Hashemi avoy alecha ve'achticha." Wherever there's a mention of my name, that's why I come to be mevarech you. And instead, we do now that will not be the case anymore. Now, the only place, the benoyadati, the only place of meeting Hashem, now is reduced. Meeting the Shechinah is now reduced to the Mishkan itself. And in fact, we have to have a shoychini tam b'toich tumasam. The chiddush of the fact that the Mishkan can live with us in the middle of our impurity and imperfection. And we have to have Yom Kippur, the day that commemorates getting the Luchos Shniyos. We have to have it every year just to allow the Tahar, just to have Kapora for the Tumah, just to undo the damage of the Mishkan operating amongst the Tumah of the Bnei Yisrael. So we live in a world, at least according to the Sepharnah, which was recreated post as almost a concession, a survival mechanism after what should have been a total obliteration. Because Adam Rishon, let's not forget, we actually, on some level, although it's tragic when we read about this diminishment, there's a tragedy involved, and there's pain to that tragedy, that we left the Madrega. We really were meant to be on the Madrega of Adam Rishon Kodem Chet. This was meant to be the end of history. And instead it becomes a massive diminishment. But as well as that, there's one thing which is worth remembering, which is, and this is where we begin to appreciate the Mesias Nefesh of Moshe Rabbeinu himself, and that is that it's interesting, when you actually read Parshas Kisisa itself, you almost don't notice. It's like that something goes wrong, and then Moshe Rabbeinu davens, and then things go right again. And it feels basically like everything was rectified. There was full kapara. I mean, when you're just reading the Pashat Pshat and the Pesukim, that's what, you know, there was a problem, it got solved, and that was the end of the story. And the amazing thing is we do, it's unbelievable if you think about it, we still celebrate Shavuos. Isn't that amazing? The implication, of course, is that some of what happened on Matan Torah we didn't lose. And of course, if you think, by the way, it's an interesting thing, the Gemara in Avodah Zorah, we sometimes don't think about it, so you have to like really work on all the Chazals together to get the picture, but here's the Gemara in Avodah Zorah, where Rav Yochanan says, when we're talking at the beginning of the second parak there about why we're choshesh for certain behavior that might take place with an Akum, not for Yisrael, the Amar of Yochanan, B'shasha Bar Nochash Al Chava, because when the serpent struck at Chava, when Hitil Bar Zuama injected within her the poison of all that now functions within the human being as Yetzirah and everything else. Ioch Yisrael Nami, well then in that case there's no difference with Yisrael as well. We're also part of the original Zuama of the Nochash. No, Yisrael Sha'am Dar Har Sinai, Posko Zuamosam. We stood at Har Sinai, the poison has gone. That the Odekechovim who were not at Har Sinai, that poison is still there, which is incredible. Because we're used to the Medrash saying, yes, but at the point of the Egel, the Zuama, the poison returns, and yet the Gemara leaves a maskana that there remains a difference in the fact that we stood at Har Sinai, implying the Zuama does not come back fully, the damage does not fully come back to us, just like the Pesukim imply. There's a certain level at which the level attained at Har Sinai, although we come down to some degree, but we don't lose altogether. Which is obvious from the fact that Adam HaRishon himself loses all connection to the Eitz HaChaim, and we don't. We do have a Luchas Shnius. We do have a chance of coming back. And not only that, but even the Luchas Rishonis, says the Gemara in Bava Basra, Shivrei Luchas V'Menachim, we have the broken Luchas placed inside the Aron. So on some level, what we're learning from the Parsha Pshat in the Pesukim is true on every level too. On some level, we still are connected to the original Kabbalah Satora. On some level, the removal of the damage of the Nochash is not fully undone by the Egel HaZahav. Not only that, but on some level, the original Luchas which are broken still are with us. And the secret of this, really, to understand this a little bit, level, I mean, this is what we have to understand by the Mesiras Nefesh of Moshe Rabbeinu himself. But what I wanted to show is this, is that actually it's interesting that the Medrash itself links the Mesiras Nefesh that saved us. Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, someone who is willing to literally give his own life, saved us. But when the Medrash talks about how Moshe Rabbeinu saved us, how he saved us, that he saved us, it compares him to one other character in history, and that is Esther in the story of Purim. Says the Medrash Rabbah, also Shemos Rabbah, in Parashat Lamed, it says like this, it's back in Mishpatim, but it says, there's three things that Moshe gave his Nosan Moshe Nafsho Aleihem V'Nikra Al Shmoi. Three times Moshe Rabbeinu gave his life for something, and then that thing became called in his name. And one of them is Yisrael. Kamon Itztayer Aleihem. The pain that Moshe Rabbeinu went to save Klal Yisrael in this week's parasha. And that's why in the Novi Yeshaya, V'Yizkei Me'Oyla Moshe Amoy. The nation is called Moshe's people. That's what Klal Yisrael are called. They're called because the person who's Moshe Nefesh for the people, it becomes known as, in him giving himself up for the Klal, actually he becomes the Klal. The people become his. Says the Medrash, V'chein Esther, Nosan Nafshal Yisrael, Esther also. gave her life for Karisol. V'nikra al Shema, and it becomes Karisol, become named her people. Olevakish milafonov al amo. She goes to Achashverosh to ask for her people. How did they become her people? Because her Maseiros Nefesh were Klal Yisrael. Now, whenever we hear a Chazal like this, of course, the lights have to be switched. This is, of course, linking the two stories deeply. And, of course, it's no coincidence that we meet the date of the story every single year. Either in Purim or in Purim Kotel. Something about what Moshe Rabbeinu did, something about the way he managed to save Klal Yisrael, obviously is connected to Purim. To what Esther did in her saving of Klal Yisrael, and what was achieved in both stories. And of course, we don't need to, if you think that's tenuous or far-fetched, you'll see that, of course, Purim has is a deep part of how we are still connected to Kabbalah Satorah. Because Purim becomes the third day of Kabbalah Satorah. As we know, the Gemara says that we have Shavuos, which we still hold the Luchas Rishonis, we still hold the Shivrei Luchas, the broken stones from the original Shavuos. We still have the Luchas Shnius, but we also have Purim. And Purim is where the Kimu V'Kiblo Yehudim, when the Gemara says that there was a problem built into the original Kabbalah Satorah, and the problem built into the Kabbalah Satorah is the Kof Alei Markagigis, the Kefiah element, the forceful nature of things, and the Gemara says, and that's where Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, "Mikan mudar rabbi raisa." This is our great get-out clause from Torah, and presumably this was what was part of the justification for Egel in the first place. Amarovo afal pichin hazu kiblu avi meachashverish tichsiv kimu vekiblu ayhudim v'dorish as kimu masha kiblu kvar. That in fact there was another Kabbalah of Torah. And that third Kabbalah Satorah is Purim. So Purim is another connection to Torah. It's not just that Esther and Moshe save us with the same level of Mesiras Nefesh, but there's a fundamental link between them and our ability to maintain a connection to the original Kabbalah Satorah, despite the fact that on some level we lost it. In fact, the Medrash Mishlei says, based on it's Medayik from the Pesukim, it's Dorish from the Pesukim in the Megillah itself, that. And here we begin to meet one of the essential features of Purim, and it's even its Purim Kotan element, that we often miss. And that is that the Megillah there is Dorish, that even though it was later, Purim was a later event, of course, it's quoted always B'Shem Arizal, that in fact Purim is Merumas in very Yom Kippur. Yom Kippurim is a shadow of a future day called Purim. But even so, the Purim itself is destined to outlive the other days, even the other Kabbalah Satorah. The Medrash in Mishlei says that that Purim will outlast the other Yom Tovim, will be la'osin lavoi, because of the Pesukim at the end that say, "Vayomim o'elen nizkorim v'la'asim b'chol dor v'dor." First of all, then nizkorim, they're going to be remembered and done in every dor. And then it carries on. It will never be lost. The zichrom lo yosef mizara. The zikoron of Purim will never be lost. Notice in both parts of the pasuk it emphasizes the zikoron of Purim, the memory of Purim. And therein lies a key critical element of Purim itself, because forgetfulness, a lack of zikoron is the essence of Purim. We have mitzvahs, zechira samalek, we have mitzvahs, zechira, somehow, remembering is what makes Purim eternal. And it turns out that forgetting is the world of the broken luchos, the shivrei luchos. Because the Gemara in Erevin Omer of Elaza, my dechsev chorus al luchos. What does it mean engraved in the luchos? So we learnt already before the well-known drash of al tigre chorus al acheros, freedom. But chorus al luchos, if the luchos would never have been broken, lo yishtak chaturim Yisrael, the possibility of Torah being forgotten would not exist. When the luchos are broken, whatever it is exactly that happens, the possibility of losing a connection to Torah now is real in the world. The possibility of forgetfulness becomes real. And Purim is where memory comes back. And I'll show you this. I'll show you this how it works. This is something that... you see, we have a very interesting... we have Pesukim in Devarim that we would have read this last Shabbos on a normal year. But the mitzvah of Zachar is Asher Salach HaAmalek, the mitzvah to remember what Amalek did. And there's a paradox built into the mitzvah. Because we're told, Timcha Zecha Amalek, you have to eliminate the memory of Amalek. And we're told, Lo Tishkach, you can't forget. How can you eliminate the memory of something you're not forgetting? In fact, the very fact that every year we're remembering what Amalek did, that of course keeps the memory of Amalek alive. How can you be Moicha, the Zecha of Amalek, if you're remembering what they did? How can you? And obviously the answer is, as is quoted, as the Ramchal says, it's brought in the Oitzes Ramchal, but it's an original thing Ramchal wrote, where he says that the essence of Amalek, what they stood for more fundamentally perhaps than anything else, is shikha, is forgetfulness. The way you destroy the zecha, the memory of Amalek, is that Amalek's memory is actually forgetfulness. Let me explain what that means. The point is this, that Amalek is characterized by the following line, as we know, Asher korach baderech, that they happened upon you along the way. Now we know that there was nothing happenstance about Amalek's attack in Yisrael. It was ultra premeditated, very planned. They even attacked from the rear. They had full function and purpose behind. They were clearly motivated. Rashi brings that the plan was to cool down Korach HaMiloshon, cooling down the intensity of the sense of relationship between Yisrael and Kodesh HaBrichu that was going on in the world. And Amalek came planned. This was nothing Korach about this at all. Nothing in the Poshut Pshat of Korach happenstance about it, except for the fact that for Amalek, everything in the world is Korach. Korach is an ideology. The sense that things are really not meaningful is the ideology, the fundamental worldview of Amalek. The sense that there are no patterns that govern things, there is no oneness that connects everything. Everything is an isolated event that has no connection to anything else. And even to call it an event is really just some kind of superimposition of pattern and order. There is no order. That is the worldview of Amalek. Zikaron, memory, is always the ability to see pattern within things. You can't remember everything. And therefore we hold the key events, the structure, the pattern of the world in our minds. And we have mitzvahs about what are the key events that we have to hold. We have to be Zacharis Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh. We have to always be conscious of it. Because it defines who we are now. Zikaron defines who we are now. It's our identity. It sets the pattern up. What are the meaningful things that have happened in the world that tell me who I am right now? Zikaron means that all those little things that happened are not just isolated things. Together they tell a story. And the worldview of Amalek says there is no story to tell. There is no meaning. Nothing is significant. Nothing is relevant. Nothing really connects to anything else. There is no fundamental pattern that underlies existence. Amalek's Zikaron, the Zecha Amalek, is actually an anti-Zecha force. It's deconstruction. It's nothingness, meaninglessness. That is the world of Amalek. So Zechira, remembering any event, is already a Mechia of Amalek. Seeing the significance in anything is already a Mechia, an elimination of the Zecha of Amalek. Lo Tishkach, not forgetting, is exactly how you wipe out Amalek in the world. Seeing in every moment of life significance, seeing everything as part of the big picture, is exactly how you destroy the Zecha of Amalek. Which is almost for sure, by the way, one of the reasons why, I haven't seen this written anywhere, but it's almost for sure, the discussion I've seen, the question I've seen, I haven't seen this exact answer, I'm sure it's just from a lack of looking. There's a Gemara in Baba Basra, I don't know if you've ever seen this, in Mem Vav Amud Beis, they use Amalek as a simon. Amalek as a simon. How can you use Amalek? Orev made Lova Malver made Lova Lekech, Rishon made Lekech Sheni, Kablon, right? Amalek. So how can you use Amalek as a simon in Shas? You've got to be Moicha Zech Amalek. But Lichorius says that anything that helps in Zikaron is Be'etzem and Mechia of Amalek. But be that as it may, the key point that is emerging is this. is that naturally a person could not lose their connection with Torah. A person naturally, when they're learning Torah, should not be able to lose a connection to something as significant and critical as Torah itself. We have Kabbalah Satorah, when we're Makabal Torah, you cannot forget Torah. There's I've heard that they say of the Rishna, but the Yisoid of it is such a powerful Yisoid, that he only learned Shas once in his life when he was 12 years old. I don't know if that's true or not. But what they do say is this, is that when he was giving a tish much later on in life, and he quotes some Gemara, let's say, I don't know, whatever, Gemara Krisos or something, he quotes, let's say, Abaya, and one of the Hasidim had just been Messiah, the Masechta, realizes the Rebbe's made a mistake, and he subtly tries to correct him, you know, Rovo, Abaya. So he goes over to the shelf, pulls out the Gemara, and sure enough it turns out to be, let's say, Abaya, like the Rebbe's synodic. He starts crying. There's years. You finished his Masechta 30 years ago, whatever it is, and you know, you're still holding. I lost it. I finished Masechta yesterday, and I don't know who it is. So he says to him, for you, it could have been Abaya, it could have been Rava, it could have been Reb Zera, it could even have been a Tana. It would make no difference. It was a shit in the Gemara. For me, it was Abaya talking, and when Abaya's talking, you never forget. Torah is something you should never be able to forget. Be'etzem, it's something of the deepest significance. It should be impossible to ever forget a word of Torah. But there's a world of Amalek, there's a world of Shivrei Luchas, there's a broken world where we don't see significance, even in the most significant things, and therefore forgetfulness becomes possible. It doesn't really matter who said it. It doesn't really matter what the Havamina was. The possibility for forgetfulness exists. But Zikaron, memory, when we see the significance in each thing, whether it's in Torah or even in everything in the world, is how we eliminate Amalek. Understanding the critical significance of every single moment of our life, that's the Mechiyah of Amalek. But let's see. You see, that explains something else as well. Because one interesting element of the story that we read about this week, that is not at first obvious, is... The Ramban asks this, is in the middle, when Moshe Rabbeinu is begging, interceding on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and Hashem is turning, he says, Vayem Hashem al Moshe, Emra b'nei Yisrael, Atem am k'shei oref. You people are stiff-necked. Rega echad ela b'kir b'cha b'chili sicha. If I stood for a moment within you, you could all be wiped out, and this is the moment that Bilam was aiming later for. Va'ata hayreit edicha. So what should you do now? Take down the adim, the jewels. I'll know what to do with you. And they took off their jewelry. That which makes a person distinct and significant, they removed. What has this got to do with anything? And the answer, of course, is this. Then in a post-Amalek, once the world of shikhos, then once we're in a world of insignificance, then it is wrong. Then a person, once a person has shrunken, once a person is no longer able, before Matan Torah, they were able to express the critical significance of every individual and do it properly in a way that wasn't a way of gaiva, and it wasn't ostentatious. It was a celebration of each person's unique role in the world. They stood ke'ish echad b'lev echad, and each person could celebrate their exact critical uniqueness of that particular part of the goof of Klal Yisrael. This is the heart, and this is the lung, and this is the liver, and each one could celebrate themselves. But after this, when we lose touch with significance, then each individual can't celebrate themselves anymore. Let's have a little look at how the Medrash puts it. The Medrash says it this way. The Medrash actually links these Adiyim to the original Kabbalah Satoru. And the Medrash says that B'Shar Shanas and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah Yisrael Lo Yahayir Again Lo Yahayir Uyim Sheyishleit Malach HaMaves Bayam. When they received Torah, they should have been immortal. Again, Chorus Al Luchos. And we dash in the Drash we've seen so far. Shekibin Shekibla HaTorah Hilbisham HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meziv Hadroi. Once they received Torah, Hashem actually enveloped them within His radiant glory. Ma'ayah Levush, what was this? Sereb Shimba Yechayah Meklei Zayin Nosalem. And the Shema Godel Chokukol of, there was glorious things, these things. They had the Shema Godel on them, Chol Yomim Shoya Biyotom, so long as they were in their hands, Lo Yoya Malach HaMoves, Yochol Lishlet Bam. How do you know that? because afterwards we see va'atahira dead yichamelecha. This was an acceptance of death in the world. This was an acceptance of failure. But each of these things was a celebration of the Shem Hashem, the name of Hashem, as it was chal on each individual, and that is lost in the world of the broken luchos. But this is the battle for Mechias Amalek. Mechias Amalek is a battle for understanding the significance of every moment. That's the mitzvah of being miyachet Hashem. It's one of the six constant mitzvahs. Yichud Hashem is seeing the significance in everything, and also the significance of every other individual in Klal Yisrael. Seeing that they should be adorned with a celebration of each one, each one's unique capacity to reveal Hashem in the world. And that lack of that, the fact that we now see others as insignificant, or we see moments as insignificant, or things as insignificant, is the battle against Amalek that we all struggle with. The removal of the adi, of the jewelry that each person should be glorified with. If you think about this, you see something very beautiful. Bilam, when he's looking and he's giving his nevuah, Vayaras Amalek, he sees Amalek, Vayisa Mesholah, he raises his mashal Vayoma, Rashis Goyim Amalek, the beginning of the world that is not connected to Kabbalah Sadoya, is Amalek. Vacharisoi Adei Oved, in the end it must be obliterated. But what is the extra word he adds in? Adei Oved. Adei is the same osius Adi. The elimination of Amalek is the elimination of a world of insignificance, is the fruition of the world of Adi, of the preciousness of everything, every single individual component of something. And our job, our avoda, when we're learning these things, our job, as we even approach the Purim Kotel, which commemorates the ability to be Mekayim, that which we originally were Mekabel, that which we're Mekayim, we're fixing within us something that cannot go. We're fixing within us a connection to Kabbalah Satoru. We're also fixing within us the ability to see Hashem in everything. That battle is the battle of all our lives. It's a struggle when we struggle with other people, to see how each of them, that's where kinakot, everything comes. The fact that we see the other person be'etzem is not significant. And the fact they've got something that I should have that thing. The fact that we don't understand the unique tafkid of ourselves and other people. The fact that we don't understand the critical meaning behind every single moment of things that happen in our life. This is the battle of the war against Amalek, the war against forgetfulness, the war against insignificance. And on Purim we take ourselves to a level of zikaron, a level of awareness that is so powerful. It's not a level of awareness of das. Das we lose go of. Das is the world of our attachments. Das is, you can have das of toiv amra. Das you can have confusion to. You're attached to your feelings, this feels good, this feels bad. We're confused. But on Purim we leave das, we leave this world that we're shrunken into, we climb to a world that is higher. We climb to a world that is higher. We climb to a world that is agdaloyada, that is beyond our current state of awareness. And we climb to a world where we have the full picture of the significance of every single moment. Just like in the Purim story itself, at the end we suddenly see how everything was building up. Everything. Things that didn't make sense were all building together, conspiring to produce the revelation of Hashem. So too we begin to see that in our life, that whichever one seems to be up is, whatever pathway is going is revealing Hashem. That is the world that we have to be on Purim. And Adelayada is Adi. I'm Dalajit. Adelayada is the ability to see, and this a person knows they've met Purim properly, when a person can see in everybody around them the Adi, the Shem Hashem shining from them. So Mitz Hashem, as we learn Parshas Kisisa, and whilst we lost those luchas, we're still holding on to them. Through the day of the Kibluah that became Purim, through the Zikaron on our Avodah, in making sure that we don't go a whole year without a Mechiyah of Amalek, that we connect to the significance of everything in Torah, the significance of Hashem in every moment of our lives, and the significance of everyone in Yisrael, that we should be Zoicha. So the Binyan Adei Ad should be Yehi Yomim.